A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
In 2017, life as we knew it came to a screeching halt when production on Sex and the City 3, the movie, was unceremoniously and abruptly shut down. 3 years later, it was announced in 2020 that a Sex and the City reboot was in the works. However, the reboot is not actually a third movie, and thus my journey continues. On this podcast, I will be doing what many believe to be the undoable. I will be saving Sex and the City 3.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the one, the only, Saving Sex and the City 3. I'm your host, Laura Marie Shane Halls, and with me today is writer and comedian Andy King. Hi.
Hello. How are you?
I'm very well. How are you?
I'm doing wonderfully today. Sitting in my dark bedroom that is a little overheated because it's a pre-war building, but that's okay. Nobody needs to see me sweating.
I too sweat profusely, and even more so when I podcast, when I get hyped up and excited. My building is also very old, and so you either heat blast or you freeze. And those are the two options.
I took about 40 milligrams of CBD before I did this because I was like, let's just chill.
Are you good? Are you nervous? Were you nervous? Did you have nerves
I just didn't want to come in too hot because that's kind of like my base level. So I was like, yeah, let me just like chill out a little bit. Like, I just need to chill. I mean, I'm at a constant state of anxiety that fluctuates between like 5 and 10. So
the CBD is working out really well for you.
Well, TBD. I took it like, I'd say 2 minutes before we started this. So it probably won't like, you know, hit.
Yeah, it hasn't kicked in. And then midway through the episode. Well, I'm really excited to have you on the pod. We have been going back and forth in DMs for a long time about like when we're going to record together. And, you know, this podcast was a passion project of mine that literally I was did for the lols for so long. And now in the year of our Lord 2021, I'm really making a concerted effort to make it a real thing and maybe make a dollar or two off of it. So this is great.
Especially because arguably, it is a real thing now, in a sense.
Yeah, I've been holding a candle for this fucking reboot for literally since before even Sex and the City 3 originally was supposed to be shot. Like, I was on board. I was like, let's fucking do this. And I remember the day that the New York Post article came out where it was like, the relationship's torched, Sex and the City 3 isn't happening, Kim Cattrall's pissed, and like she exchanged words with SJP on Insta, and my whole world crumbled, and I knew there was only one thing to do, which was talk about it on a podcast. So I never gave up hope.
You know, it really has been the Terri Schiavo of the entertainment industry. Like, it's right there. Everybody's very worried about it. People are going back and forth. So I'm glad it's finally happening.
Yeah, me too. Are you having high hopes for the reboot and just like that? Or where do you stand?
I mean, I feel like I just have to take a side note and say, I just lost Gen Z with that Terri Schiavo reference.
But I don't know if we ever had Gen Z. I do not think that they care about Sex and the City. I mean,
like,
go
what's
out on
that?
A limb. Yeah, they don't give a shit.
Like, is that the woman from The Divorce on HBO? I've been really excited about it. I mean, after that last film, which I gotta say, I rewatched both the films recently, not only to get in preparation for this, but also just because I wanted to refresh my memory about like all the horrible things that the writers did in those movies. And I think really there's only space to go up,
Yeah.
That second movie.
It really became completely untethered from reality and in a way that I appreciate. Like, I'm all for it. I love it. But yeah, I don't know where we go from. I'm afraid that it's going to be like we go from completely over the top to like very, very real. And like, I don't know how real I want these girls to get.
Especially because they're like, and just, I mean, one, I love the narrative that's going on right now. And everyone's just like, nobody asked for this. And I'm like, actually, a couple people asked for this. And one person
literally
made a podcast about it.
Yeah, like I have been begging for it. You're right. Not asking. I've been pleading.
But the media has been like, hey, just so you guys know, there will be a COVID storyline. It's just like, wait, what? Why? Why are we doing this?
Yeah, no one asked for COVID. Yeah, well, I just don't want reality. I always thought the show was like an escapist fantasy from the jump. So then to have like a pandemic in my Sex and the City universe, I'm like, I don't know about that, but I will watch.
I can't remember the name of the actual character, but I mean, in terms of what I'm looking for this new series, I want it to have all the energy of smoking out a window and then falling to your death. That's what, yes, I look for in this series, and that's what I demand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, nothing less than perfection, which is accidentally dying. Yeah.
Yeah, no, of course.
Lexi Featherston, RIP.
That's it. Featherstone.
So for those of you who are brand new, just tuning in, welcome. A little history lesson. I have writers, comedians, actors, creatives on this pod. I give them carte blanche to come up with storylines for each of our girls. They can create a movie, they can create a series, they can create a show. I basically just give them the floor. I let them pitch me their log lines, and then we go back to the beginning and we build the Sex and the City 3 from there. So with that, I'm going to give you the floor and let you tell your vision to the readers.
Okay. So we know that COVID's going to be a part of it. It's just, it's non-negotiable at this point. So mm-hmm. I think we can all agree Carrie gets it, and she gets it bad.
Okay. All right.
The face you just made.
I'm
okay.
Shocked.
Not like,
I didn't
not like
see it going
bedridden,
this...
not bedridden bad, but like taste and smell gone forever.
Okay.
And wow. Also like, and she has a horrible cough, but she's like, it's cause I smoke. And she just like completely ignores the fact that any other symptoms are happening to her. She's very anti-mask. Doesn't wear it because it's not fashion. She's running around New York, spreading it to everyone. She actually was the reason we became the epicenter in the very beginning.
She's a super spreader.
Yeah, she's a super spreader. She's having huge parties all the time. She's like, she's having fundraisers for Trump.
Wow. Okay, so Carrie's taken like a very conservative turn. Does this have to do with her marriage to Big? Like he kind of like, do you imagine
he radicalized her?
100%. Okay, he radicalized her. He was mm-hmm. always extremely conservative.
Yeah.
We just kind of never saw that side of him. But as their marriage has grown, his ties to the Republican Party, and namely his ties to Donald Trump, have made Carrie into like a Bible beating conservative. Okay,
yeah, so,
I get it.
I mean, she was racked with debt when they got together, and he's like, "I'll lift you up," but under certain conditions.
Mm-hmm.
So that, and the condition was that she support him in all his political endeavors, because I don't know, he's trying to become governor or something.
Okay, maybe Big, yeah, he has political aspirations of his own. And in 2016, like, things started to get a little intense for everyone, but that's when Big's Trump supporting proclivities really came to light, and he said, "Carrie, get on board or we're fucking getting divorced and good luck paying for your life." Okay.
And you know what? I don't think he supported him the whole time, and neither is Carrie. I think they started supporting him at the very end. Like when nobody was supporting him, everyone was jumping ship. They're like, forget everything we did the past 4 years. Big's like, no, I'm doubling down.
Baby Big always has staff. Yeah, Baby Big always has supported him, but Carrie was like, no. And then he really gave her like the ultimatum of, you need to like, yeah, we're doing this. And then she became radicalized.
Yeah, she's worse than Mnuchin's wife. Like, she's wearing coats to say, I really don't care. Really is underlined. Like, she's a bitch.
Okay.
Which is why we're going to be glad when she gets COVID. Okay, moving on to Charlotte. A little less fleshed out, but I think Charlotte's entire family dies under mysterious circumstances.
Wow. Okay.
And I think this is after she started, like, all of her friends were like, yeah, Charlotte's like binging Snapped now. Like, she's getting really into these stories of women just killing their family. It's kind of all she talks about.
Whoa, so maybe Charlotte has pulled like a, she's snapped herself is what you're saying.
Yeah, 100%. Okay. She relates. Miranda is a pandemic profiteer. She like saw that everybody was getting sick and she's like, I'm investing in plexiglass. I'm investing in wood to board up store windows during these protests. And she like rationalizes it with herself by being like, I stock community fridges in Brooklyn, but like she stocks them with produce that is going off in her house. And she's just like, the poors will love it.
Okay. So, wow. Everyone's really evil in your version is what you're saying. Like this, yeah. Are there any good people? Are there any heroes in our story?
Yeah. You know what? I think Stanford's the hero.
Okay, I love this. I love this twist. What about Samantha? Is Samantha a character?
Oh, yeah. She's a huge character in this.
All right.
One, dead. Like, 100% dead. We know.
Wow, okay. Yeah,
we know Kim can't be in the series. So what we're going to do, I mean, she is in the series, but she's in the series like an It Follows monster. Like,
okay, I love this. I love a supernatural element. A horror element, if you will. Okay, I'm getting it. This is a horror movie. Okay, I see where we're going with this. All right.
And like she's following her friends. Carrie probably going to be the last one she comes after. Who knows? Maybe she doesn't get any of them. But the way we get around it is like there's just some horrible like prosthetics and like you really can't tell if it's Kim Cattrall or not.
Okay, but she is the It Follows like yes. ghost. Okay, yes. Great. Great. I see this movie opening up on our beautiful city, New York City, city that never sleeps. And it's a sweeping shot of the beautiful NYC skyline. And as we descend on New York, we realize many people are lining up outside of a very well-known cathedral. And they are mourning the loss of the one, the only Samantha Jones.
There are huge bouquets, like, but intermingled within, like, the baby's breath and the catterlilies are just, like, huge dildos.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a dildos. It's a very fun, irreverent funeral, the kind of funeral Samantha would have wanted. And I think Carrie brings us in with like the typical Carrie Bradshaw voiceover where she's like, New York, the city that never sleeps, friends for days, love and light. But honestly, we were in mourning today and we had all lost someone very special to us. And go ahead.
And I couldn't help but wonder, even though it's the city that never sleeps, my friend is now sleeping forever.
And we see that Samantha, I think we gather from the conversation of the funeral attendees that Samantha's cancer came back. Mm-hmm. And this time she fought hard, but she couldn't beat it. And she succumbed to breast cancer.
Yeah.
And all the girls are there. It's very sad. But we also get to see like all the guys that Samantha has fucked along the way. And it's a great opportunity for cameos from like the funky spunk guy and the yoga guy that maybe she wanted to fuck, but she never did.
The line is just out the door of the cathedral, goes all the way up Fifth Avenue. The longest line you've ever seen.
Friar Fuck is there. It's the Studio 54 of funerals, and there's tons of celebrity cameos as well. And it is a beautiful send off for a beloved character and a beloved friend.
100%.
And I think Carrie, maybe even her voiceover coincides with her actual eulogy for Samantha.
Sure.
So we see her at the podium giving the eulogy, and everyone's weeping, and there are flowers and dildos, and Anthony and Stanford are there making quippy gay statements.
Of course.
And like after the funeral, we see like all the women and their respective partners milling about, and there's obviously like an after party held at, I think, whatever the hottest restaurant is, like
Bagatelle
at the time or whatever. Bagatelle. Yeah, it's like a daytime clubby kind of, like Samantha would have wanted like an upbeat
kind of
day clubbing.
Like Ramona Singer's so there as a cameo. She's like, oh, I absolutely love Bagatelle.
All the housewives are there and the music is pounding, champagne is popping, and it's a wild scene. There are go-go dancers,
yes,
and everyone's 100%. Really partying. I think this is where you also see, I think, all the girls take Molly.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Samantha would have wanted it. And like in her will, I think she said, like, take Molly at my funeral.
Yeah, and
so
she actually gave out gift bags to everyone who was leaving the funeral that were only filled with like sex toys and hard drugs.
Yes. And so Carrie's opening like the funeral gift bag, and they're all sitting, like Carrie, Big, Charlotte, Harry, and Miranda and Steve are all sitting in like a roped off VIP section of Bagatelle. And they're opening the gift bag and they're like, let's see, like what could she possibly have gotten us? And Charlotte pulls out like a vibrator and she's like, oh my God. And like Miranda pulls out like nipple pasties, like sequin nipple pasties. And she's like, wow, these are actually kind of cute. Yeah. And then Carrie pulls out a little tiny baggie and it has like a pressed pill.
Yeah, there's a little note with it. And it's just like, celebrate my life by getting yours.
Mm-hmm. And the pressed pill of ecstasy is actually like a little miniature Samantha face.
Oh, cute.
So she really thought ahead.
Self-absorbed even in death.
Yes. So Carrie's like, well, should we take this? She's like, she's like, Limelight was ages ago. Like, we're 50. Like, can we party like this? And they're like, so it's like, well, it is like, we should be honoring like her wishes.
Her memory. Yeah.
And And Miranda's like, well, I already took mine. And so Carrie goes,
her eyes
up.
Just huge.
Yeah, they look over at Miranda actually, and she doesn't say anything. She's just kind of rocking back and forth, like sweating.
Like just no iris at all, just all sclera, like huge pupils. Yeah.
They go, Miranda, what do you think? And they look over at her, and she's just making out with Steve.
Full
and
hereditary.
They're both kind of sweaty. And she turns and she goes, what? And her eyes are just pupils. And they're like, okay. So Carrie's like, bottoms up. And they take their Molly. Mm-hmm. And then it cuts to like 3 hours later. And everyone's like on a dance floor. Like there's an amazing DJ. And it's turned into just a day rave of like, everybody is like sweating and dancing out their demons, and it really actually I think is like could be a big set piece for in the movie. Like it's the equivalent of Anthony and Stanford's wedding.
Okay. Swans.
Like production wise. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Instead of swans, you have like really ripped go-go dancers, a crazy laser show. Like we just take 5 minutes for like an insane laser show.
Yes. And is Smith there?
Smith is absolutely
there. Like, how do we think he's handling it?
I think he's triggered.
Okay.
His sobriety, but he stays maybe he doesn't stay true to his sobriety.
I don't think he does.
I don't think he does. I think that Smith breaks his sobriety in this moment.
And she pushed him to it. She got a goodie bag, and it was just like, babe, I know you're sober, but this isn't what I want. This is not what I want in death, and you will do this for me. She's like very dom in her letter to him.
Mm-hmm. And I think we even cut to Smith, and he's like taking in the contents of the gift bag, and then he has his own kind of journey where he goes to the restroom, like tries to gather his thoughts, like what is he gonna do? Like he's very triggered, and then just decides like, fuck it, I'm just here I go. And he takes the pill, grabs a glass of champagne like off of a nearby table and just chugs it. And then when we see everyone on the dance floor, I think what happens is each of the girls either fucks or makes out with one of the guys that Samantha fucked or made out with during her tenure on this world.
Yeah.
And that's how they get haunted by the ghost of Samantha Jones.
And I think that she like set up the open bar. Like this was all in her will, and she has a very shady lawyer. It's Michael Cohen. Michael Cohen's her lawyer. And what people don't know is that she spiked all of the drinks with Rohypnol because she doesn't want people to remember what happens. She just wants it to be like a memory that they have to figure out by piecing together all the little pieces.
Just when I think you've taken it to a pretty dark place, you drop one level deeper and take it even darker. And I have nothing but respect for that, to be quite
Thank
honest.
Thank you so much.
So Samantha not only has asked everyone to take ecstasy at her funeral after party, she's also roofied everyone.
She doesn't want them to know what the hell happened.
Is now feeling very like Gaspar Noé climax. This is taking now. This has taken a climax turn.
Okay.
So it's this movie that was like all these dancers like gather to like practice for, I guess they're going to be in like a music video, but after they get done filming, someone spikes the punch with LSD and then they all accidentally get
so it's
dosed.
Just
and
like
then,
it.
Yeah, you've literally channeled climax, a movie you've never seen nor know of, but you've channeled it, and that's the important thing. So everyone's deeply fucked up at this day rave. It's gorgeous. It's dark. It's twisted. And I think it just fades out, and you see just kind of bodies writhing and sweat flinging and like a montage, and people are making
Someone's
out.
Wearing a teddy bear mask. Like it's very Eyes Wide Shut.
Yeah, people are like fucking in corners. Like it gets really like dicey. It's like a dark sided.
You see a single flash image of Nicole Kidman's character from The Undoing in that huge green. No explanation.
Yeah, she's inexplicably in attendance in like one of her witch coats. And then the next day, I think like Carrie wakes up in her apartment and she's fully clothed, just like face down on the bed.
Yeah.
Next with like one arm flung over Big, who's also like maybe covered in lipstick, has some glitter on him, and
he's
fully
asleep
clothed.
In his own vomit.
There's like a trail of vomit out of his mouth over the side of the bed. Like things got fucking out of control at this day rave after party for Samantha's funeral. And she's like, what happened last night? What on earth? And he's like, I don't know, kid, but I haven't felt this shitty since like 1989. And I think they have to get dressed quickly because
there's an event.
There's they have to attend
You know what I think they're attending? I think they're attending a fundraiser for the Mounted Police of Central Park. Because as we cannot forget, they are very pro NYPD because they have been following
they're
this
very highly conservative now. And I think Big is like freaking out because he's like, if anyone knows that we were like at this rave, like doing God knows what, like it's gonna ruin my chances. Like he's now like retired and is really focused on like maybe like a 2024
book
or like
deal,
like he's trying to like make a case to be like the next president of the United States.
Of course.
So they get dressed like quickly, and somehow Carrie manages to pull her shit together and looks flawless and stunning.
The one time she looks great is when she's just Molly hungover.
And they arrive at the police benefit, and just in the nick of time for Big to take the stage and like make his dedication or whatever the fuck you do at those types of things. Meanwhile,
okay, so I think this is maybe where we get our first glimpse of Samantha It Follows. I think the doors open to the benefit, and Big's making his speech, and just like in the distance, you just see, it's like very out of focus. You're like, what is that? Because it's very center shot. Like there's something there and the audience is meant to see. And it's just, and then just like maybe an extreme close up of just like this melted face, just like super dark. And it just keeps getting closer and closer as Big gives his speech.
Yeah, it's just like kind of this naked woman who's walking very slowly, but Carrie, she like sees this person and is a little bit shaken. And then I think we cut to Charlotte.
Yes.
And Charlotte wakes up in her apartment, her beautiful Upper East Side classic six. And there is
blood,
a bloodbath.
Blood
it's
everywhere.
Truly blood everywhere.
Like,
it is
even in places
like
that you didn't think it could get. You're like, what? How's
dripping
it on
the ceiling?
Yeah. On the like back, on the back side of a ceiling fan. Like, how did it get? Mm-hmm. How did it get behind there?
Yeah, she's like, it's so hot, and then turns on a fan, and it's just like, splattering the walls,
the
and
room.
Charlotte realizes that her entire family is dead.
And they're piled up in the corner too. So it's like, what? Like they're not even in separate bedrooms. Like this could have been a weird home invasion. It was like, it was premeditated.
Yeah, so her apartment is a huge murder scene. A vile, disgusting crime took place in Charlotte's apartment, and it seemingly was committed by Charlotte herself. Mm-hmm. And then I think we just, as soon as she's realizing what, we cut to Miranda.
Yeah. And there's no explanation. It lasts like all of 10 seconds. She's like, oh, ah! And then it just cuts to Miranda.
Yeah. Is Miranda just up having coffee, like no big deal, going about her day and like checking her E-Trade account? Yeah. Or like on the phone with her financial advisor?
Yeah, that's exactly right. She's on the phone with her financial advisor. She's like, oh my God, I'm how rich? And she's just like having the time of her life. Like she doesn't even look like the Molly. You know what? The Molly didn't really affect her because she's reached that level of wealth where like you just do drugs just to feel something. And she's just like very used to it. So it has absolutely no effect on her whatsoever anymore.
Okay, so Miranda... Yeah, she's seasoned, and it's like Miranda's on the phone with her financial advisor. He's telling her that, like, he's giving her, like, insider trading info and, like, saying, like, I hear rumors of some sort of virus that's originated in China, but my sources tell me it's going to spread worldwide. Here are the things that I would personally dump. He's like, you didn't hear it from me, but if you did, this is what I would dump and this is what I would buy.
Yeah.
And so she makes like, they make moves and make trades. And then she gets off the phone with him. And just as she's getting off the phone with him, Steve comes home with the dog. And I guess he and Brady took a dog on a walk.
Okay.
And I don't think Miranda is being followed a ghost, because I think
not
she
yet.
Just fucked Steve.
Yeah.
So he's like, hey, Miranda, how we looking? Like, blah, blah, blah. And she's like, I dumped 100 shares of blah, 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 and picked up 500 shares of blah.
She's like,
so,
Blackwater.
Like, yeah, we're going to be
something really
like,
dark.
Great shape. Yeah. And then we cut back to Carrie.
Yes.
And this naked ghost apparition is inching ever closer and ever closer to the point where she, and Carrie's like looking around, like trying
she
to
feels
see if
something.
Anyone else like sees this person.
Yeah, her aura
and no
is
one
tweaking.
Does. Yeah, but Carrie knows that she has to get the fuck out of there. Uh-huh. So she just gets up in the middle of big speech and like runs away.
Yeah. He's like, huh?
Yeah. And so I think that he meets her back at the apartment and he's like, kid, what the hell? Like, why'd you run off
that
from
was
my
so,
speech?
You had to be there. That was so important to my candidacy.
Like, not only did you, like, you're making me look bad. You're like, we get strung out last night, but then now you're running away from speeches of mine. She's like, you don't understand. There was like, there was some thing walking towards me. And he's like, you need to take a nap. And like,
it's like, babe, this is New York. Bath. There's always something walking towards you.
Yeah. And so
he doesn't get it.
He doesn't get it at all. So Carrie decides that she's just gonna sleep it off, and she chalks it up to like a post Molly, mm-hmm. like
she thinks it was just like an after effect. Yeah,
yeah. And then I think the next day they meet for brunch.
Sure.
And yeah, and they are having brunch at their classic spot.
They're at Balthazar.
And yeah, and you know, Charlotte I guess has murdered her entire family, but is appearing, it's just appearing like nothing is wrong and everything's
she's
normal.
In a fugue. She like doesn't know.
You think she's in a fugue?
Yeah.
I feel like she's okay. All right. She's just kind of staring off into the distance.
Or maybe it's more like shock. Like she doesn't know how to handle it. So it's not quite like she doesn't know what's going on. She's just like, I'll deal with this later.
Yeah, I imagine her just being business as usual, mm-hmm. and like, and just being like, oh yeah, like Lily, she's working on a school project.
The gallery's
like
going
Rose.
Great.
Yeah, everything's like going great. But meanwhile, her family is just like, I guess all dead.
They're still in that pile.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Carrie's like, the weirdest thing happened to me yesterday. And Charlotte's like, what? What could be weird? Like,
what happened?
And Carrie tells them that like a ghost woman was walking towards her at Big's big speech.
Yeah, and I don't think she has any idea that there could be any correlation to Samantha yet.
No, she has no idea, and she's like,
did you guys see anything
odd happen to you guys?
Yeah.
And Charlotte's like, nope, nothing to think about. No, nothing really. Everything's normal. And Miranda's like,
apartment
no,
looks
I mean,
great.
Yeah, like everything's pretty normal with me too. Like, are you sure you didn't just like party too hard? And Carrie's like, I don't know. I mean, I can't really remember anything. Like, can you guys? And they're like,
no.
I mean, no, but I just, that's how it goes sometimes. Carrie's like, well, just keep me posted, I guess. Like, if anything, maybe it is just nothing, and like maybe I am just
yeah,
being crazy.
Yeah, she feels like she's being
maybe
silly.
We are just too old. Like, maybe I couldn't help but wonder, maybe we were just too old to be partying mm-hmm. like that. And
I couldn't help but wonder, did one of those lasers from the show hit my cornea and affect my perception of reality?
Yeah. So then I think she maybe meets up with like Stanford for like some post brunch shopping.
Sure.
And they and I think that's the next time Carrie sees this like apparition.
And you know what? I also think that like Stanford, like one of the producers of this is also one of the producers of the prom. And they're like really like coming off a high of having James Corden play the most offensive gay man in history. And they're like, you know what? I want to do it again. I'm doubling down. Stanford's in like a huge, he looks like Elton John, just like walking down Fifth Avenue, like being like, oh, honey, like just the worst.
Yeah. And he and Carrie are like, you know, they're making the rounds at like Saks Fifth Avenue mm-hmm. and like all the shops. And Carrie is like trying on shoes. She sees, and just as she's like trying on a new pair of Manolos, she looks off across the shoe department and sees this decrepit woman walking towards her uh-huh. again. And she grabs Stanford and she's like, Stanny, honey, we have to go. We have to go. And hustles them both out. And she explains to him, like, I really think like something's following me. Like,
wrong.
I keep seeing this woman. Something's wrong. And he's like, honey, dude, there's just gross people everywhere. It is just, it is what it is. And he's like, it's the Upper East Side. People have crazy plastic surgery up here. Like, no wonder you're freaked out.
Yeah, and Carrie's just like, you know what? You're right. Ever since Giuliani left, this city's been a mess. And you're just like,
yeah,
oh,
any
Carrie.
Chance to call out Giuliani.
She loves
she'll
him.
Take it. So then
do we go back to Charlotte?
Yeah, I think we go back to Charlotte and she's just trying to like
clean.
She's clean.
She's,
yeah.
She's like
really
bleaching
on a cleaning
everything. She and like not just normal cleaning like sponge and mop, like she has got a power washer that she has filled with bleach and she's just like spraying down her entire apartment. Like no one's ever gonna know anything happened here. She's starting to write the story of like what she's gonna tell people when they're like, where did your entire family go?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's like journaling and trying to be like, I guess being like, we sent Lily to camp and like mm-hmm. Harry's gone on a boys trip to like the Dominican Republic. Yeah, and
somewhere that it wouldn't be weird if he disappeared there.
Yeah, and like Rose is off at boarding school, like just trying to like cover mm-hmm. her tracks.
Totally.
And I think as she's cleaning, she turns on a podcast or just turns on the TV for background noise. And it happens to be on the Oxygen Network and uh-huh. Snapped is on.
Yeah, 100%. And it's Snapped.
And she just sits down on her couch and starts watching, like with her bloody like mm-hmm. kitchen gloves still on.
Maybe even she's in that Valentino dress that Lily put her hands on because she's like, well, there's already mm-hmm. paint on this. I might as well use it to clean it up.
Yeah, her skirt, that white mm-hmm. skirt. So
that's right.
She sits down. She's like riveted by the show. And then we cut back to Carrie, I guess.
Yeah, I think we need to we need to forward the It Follows of it all a little bit. You know what? I think we cut to Big, and mm-hmm. like you just hear a on the door, and you're like, oh, he's like, okay, but and you open it, just like right there, like screaming face, this like molted monster, and he's like, ah, and it gets him.
Okay, yeah, and so Carrie gets back home mm-hmm. with Stanford and she's like, come up and like have a drink or whatever. We're like, we need to decompress or like figure this out. And they arrive to the scene of Big just like having been brutally murdered.
Yeah.
And Carrie screams and they call the police, obviously, who like investigate the scene.
Love Big.
Yeah. Who love her, love Big. And they're like, does he have any enemies? Like, and she's like, enemies? Like, the whole, yeah, like, all of New York, like, yeah, fucking hates him.
Everybody
like,
loathes my husband.
Yeah, like, we're, the whole world could be our enemy. Like, we're aligned with Donald Trump. And they're like, true, true. And I guess Stanford's like, you can come, like, why don't you just come stay at my place? Like, since your place is a crown, or no, they go to her old apartment because
yes, that she's been holding on to.
Yeah, all these years. So they're back in Carrie's old apartment and they're trying to like piece together what the fuck is going on. And she calls Miranda and Charlotte and she says, like, come over immediately. Like, something horrible has happened. Like, meet me at my old place. Mm-hmm. So they're all together plus Stanford and they're trying to piece together, like, just what the fuck could have happened. And I think that's when they maybe like they get a notification when they're sitting together that the photos from Samantha's yes. after party have been posted online yes. and they can go to the link and see like the pics from the photo booth and just like the event pics. Totally. So they like while they're really sad that Big is dead, they're like, oh, actually,
oh, press.
I just got the link. We should look at them. And so they start.
They're like, maybe we'll finally know what happened that night.
Yeah. And as they go through the pics, they see like a photo of Carrie like sucking face with like the funky spunk guy.
Yeah.
100. Or either that or like Smith Jared.
Yeah. You know what? I think she's blowing Smith, but like you can barely see it. It's just like there's a sliver of the crack in the door, and like it was a picture of something else, but in the corner you can just like see Carrie going at it.
Yeah, like I think they're realizing they're like a lot of bad things happened like right after Samantha's party, like right? And Charlotte's like, I don't know, I have no idea what you're talking about. Like, my life is great. Lily's off at camp, and Rose is back at boarding school, and Harry's on a boys trip, and it's all good.
All
she just
once.
Says that over and over. Yeah, like anytime
everyone's
you ask
like,
Charlotte,
okay,
like, how's it going, they're like, okay. And so Carrie's like looking through photos, and everything, it just does look like a fun
Bacchanal.
Day rave. Yeah, but then they start to see in the background, they're like, they see like Carrie's like wild curly hair like at crotch level with Smith. Yeah. And they're like, is that you? Yeah. And she's like, I don't know. And then they see like they're clicking through and they see like Charlotte like with, and it looks like her hand is like down the pants of like funky spunk guy.
Yeah. Wow. He's getting a lot and, of like, action this party. I'm proud of him.
Yeah. And I think like we start to see. We start to realize that like, oh, we all like, I can't believe we like made out with these people. Like, and Carrie's like, I can't believe I blew Smith.
Yeah.
And like, and so they start to.
They like put up the pictures on the wall and they're like using red string to kind of like piece together the evening.
Yeah. And they're like, maybe we need to find, they're like, we need to find like. We need to find Smith and like maybe
debrief.
He'll know more info. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like, and so they start to like track him down or maybe, and they also see Big, and Big also had sex with someone at the party.
Yeah. Yeah. Because that's what,
oh my God, you know who Big, you know who Big had sex with at the party?
Who?
He had sex with Maria, the lesbian
oh,
painter
twist.
That Samantha. Yeah, they see like they see in the background like a long ponytail.
Yeah.
And they see like Big going down on Maria.
Yeah.
And so they're like, wait.
This party
had a lot of negative ramifications. So they're like, oh my God, like Big like had he hooked up with Maria, and then they turn, and then maybe like Anthony text Stanford like turn on the news now, and they turn on the news and it's like Smith Jared has been found dead in like his blah 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 loft.
Yes.
And like, and they are like, oh my God, Smith is dead. And so they start to put together that everyone that hooked up with one of Samantha's lovers at Samantha's post-funeral after party is now being like murdered.
Yeah. And she's like, I couldn't help but wonder, was Samantha's box coming from the box we put her into?
Love. So Charlotte is still like in a state of denial. She's like, I think you guys are crazy. Like, this is not going on. Like, nothing bad is happening. Lily is at camp. Rose is at boarding school. And Harry's on a boys' trip. Yeah. And like, and then she's like, and I have to go because this is just toxic at this point. And I don't know if we should really be friends anymore. And I think this is all a sign that maybe our friendship has gone too far. And I've actually just got to go. And
full
so
spiral.
She like runs off and they're like, okay, like clearly something's up with her. And they decide to like, How are they going to fix this scenario?
You know what? I think Miranda uses her just like insane 1% wealth now. She's like, you know what? I'm worried about Charlotte. I'm going to hire someone to follow her. Make sure okay. she's okay.
Yeah. Meanwhile, COVID is percolating.
Oh my God. It's just touched. The first couple cases are starting to show up in New York. They're like Rochester, yeah. New Rochelle.
And I think that that is overshadowing these gruesome deaths
mm-hmm.
because like it's everyone is really like pandemic crazed and scared. So they decide like so the deaths are kind of going by the wayside and it's hard to investigate these murders when a pandemic uh-huh. is taking hold.
And Carrie, ever the Trumper, is just like, this is a hoax. Like, there's no need to investigate this stuff. Like, I don't believe any of it. She's really, really doubling down. Like, even though Big's gone, she's just been in this mindset of supporting him for so long that she just can't get past it.
Then this, I guess we have this private investigator tailing Charlotte.
Sure.
And he's like taking photos of her day to day. Like she seems to be business as usual, like running errands and groceries, but he just notices that her family are like nowhere in sight.
She carries out like huge trash bags. Huge mm-hmm. trash bags.
And he gives the photos to Miranda and Miranda starts going through them and she texts Carrie, like, I think something's really off with Charlotte. Mm-hmm. Like, take a look at these. And so I think they decide that the only way to get to the bottom of it is to go confront Charlotte and sure. like and see what's wrong. So they go to Charlotte's Classic Six, but when they get there, it is like spick and span, mm-hmm. absolutely sparkling.
It's never been cleaner.
Yeah, and I think that they sit her down and really start to lay into her, like, Charlotte, something's wrong here. Like, and at this point, I think Carrie's just being followed everywhere she goes.
Yeah,
like
definitely.
There's always just a Samantha like trailing her.
And I think she's starting to get sick. I think she's like, she's in the apartment with the girl. She's like,
and they're like, shouldn't you be wearing like a mask? And she's like, it didn't go with my outfit.
How could I smoke with a mask on?
Yeah, and so they press Charlotte, and they. And finally, I think Charlotte admits, like, fine, like, my whole, I guess Lily isn't at camp. Rose is not at boarding school. Harry's not in the Dominican Republic. They're dead. Okay. They're dead. I killed them. And they're now they're dead. And so, and all the girls are just, like, shocked.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they also believe that, like, Charlotte didn't do this.
Yeah, I think they're definitely skeptical. They're like, okay, she's neurotic, but, like, this is kind of a step too far.
Yeah, and Charlotte's like, I did it. Like, I'm a killer. Like, I'm a snapped. I snapped. And that's me. I'm just, like, crazy snapped mom now. And that's what it is. And I did take them out in trash bags, but, like, that's because I snapped. Like, it's just all my fault. And Miranda's like, has like a real talk moment with her where she's like, Charlotte, like kind of in the second movie where she's like, Charlotte, take a drink of this. And she pours her like a Cosmo and she's like, it's hard to be a mom. It's hard to have it all together. But I don't think yeah. you snapped. Yeah. And then they realize like these ghosts are coming after us. Samantha is now haunting us. And we have to like fight back.
Yeah, because I think this was a whole like confession moment. Like, mm-hmm. Like Charlotte admits she killed her family. Carrie admits that she's seeing this ghost following her. And Miranda's just like, I'm responsible for the crash of the stock market, but I made out yeah. big.
Mm-hmm. And so they're like, what are we going to do to like end this haunting?
I think somebody else needs to die.
Okay.
I think
who needs to die?
I mean, this ghost needs to kill somebody else. And I think it's Brady.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Cause if we weren't dark before, I think we need a child's death on our hands.
Wow. Okay. A child death. So Did he sneak into the day rave?
Yeah, I think he was there. And, like, nobody can remember. And because what? How old's Brady at this point? Like,
he's
teenager?
Probably a teenager.
Yeah, for sure. So he's like, this is my opportunity to get drunk.
Brady is a young gay, mm-hmm. and he snuck in and hooked up with, I guess, the gay couple that tried to get Samantha to be their third.
Yes.
Like, but then they just ended up, like, hooking up with each other, and she was, like, not plussed.
Mm-hmm.
That's who Brady hooked up with.
You know what?
And so while the girls are plotting.
I think maybe everyone from this party. I mean, with the exception of the girls right now, I think there was, like, a huge orgy at this party that no one can remember. And it was just, like, an absolute feeding frenzy for this ghost. And, like, every couple days, there's a new piece. Because they were all high society elites. And I think every couple days, there's a new press piece in, like, the Post. It's, like, were they killed by a ghost? Like, who knows?
Yeah, if everyone's like, it's either COVID, and since it's happening in conjunction with COVID, no one really knows if it was COVID or if it was this ghost.
Mm-hmm.
But literally almost everyone that was at Samantha's funeral is dying.
Dead. Yeah.
The bodies are piling up. The girls are terrified. Brady has now been taken.
Uh-huh.
I think, like, his untimely demise comes while they're trying to, like, figure out what to do.
Yeah.
And then I think we just have a death montage.
Yeah.
And then the girls are finally trying to, like, figure out a plan for how to fight this demon ghost.
Yeah.
And do they just decide that, like, does Carrie just decide, like, we have to, like, fuck every man in New York to, like...
You know what? I got it. I think they have to work their way through all of the men that Samantha fucked when she was alive to, like, close, like, the Gordian knot, or, like, the snake eating its own tail. It's the only way they can survive. By closing
the loop. So they're like, if we fuck every single person that Samantha's ever fucked in New York and in her life, then the loop will close. And it will just, like, disappear.
It's a big undertaking because, like, she was all over the world. She was a jet setter.
Yeah. So this is where, like, an international travel moment can come in.
Yes.
And we see them, like, they compile, like, a master list, and, like, they each have to, like, knock, like, 50 people off the list.
And, like, this list is weird. Like Azerbaijan is on there. Like, the Yemen. Like, just places that you would never fuck someone. Like, Antarctica. There's, like, one guy in Antarctica. They're like, who the fuck was this?
Yeah, so after the death montage, we also get, like, a huge travel montage of the girls just, like, each going to, like, fuck these, like, random guys.
A lot of Emirates flying, like people, mm-hmm. like cheersing
first
champagne.
Class.
Mm-hmm. Luxury.
Yeah, and as they're going and, like, fucking all these guys, like, it's also, since it's coinciding with COVID, it becomes harder and harder to, like, travel because of all the travel bans. And I think as they are fucking all these guys, more and more people are dying.
Mm-hmm.
And I think actually what ends up happening is, like, half, if not more, of the world's population ends up dead because instead of closing the loop, they realize that they've now, like, caused, like, an endless chain because everyone that those people fucks are gonna die. And Samantha fucked so many people over the course of her life that it has just, like, exponential repercussions. And it's actually worse than COVID. Like,
yes.
It really does claim, like, 50% of the world's population.
Yeah, 100%. That's definitely what happened.
And instead of the pandemic gets absolutely, like, conflated with the It Follows
mm-hmm.
deaths
mm-hmm.
to be, like, a global slaughter of, and, like, it's, like, almost, it's, like, worse than even, like, leftovers. Like, people,
yeah,
like,
definitely.
Literally, 3 to 4 billion people die.
Okay. I love that. I love, and you know, and I mean, all of the world is on board with the It Follows narrative now because, like, some huge media personality had happened to, and like, they mm-hmm. told their story before their demise, and people were like, "Oh my god, it must be real." And then everybody, it's yeah. like 6 degrees of separation. Everybody has a story about it.
Oh, so then I think maybe in conjunction with COVID, like, Fauci also says like there is another pandemic, and that is the Samdemic.
Yeah.
And he's like, please, like, do not be sexually active during this time. Like, yeah. you are at risk for getting brutally killed. We don't know the mechanics, but we know that in addition to COVID-19, there's also rumors of like a Samdemic, and we're on national lockdown. And so the government's doing their best, but really failing to like fight the other pandemic.
Yeah, totally.
And I don't think that this ends. I mean, I feel like this is just the new reality that we're living in.
I think so. I mean, I don't know how, like, I mean, if anyone could find out how the Samdemic started, it'd be Fauci. But like, I think he's kind of like tired. Like, he's older. He's like, you know what? I don't think I can do this anymore. Like, I'm going to leave it up to you. And I think it just keeps happening. And
so, as like the population of the world dwindles and dwindles, and sex is no longer on the table.
And honestly, neither are cities.
Yeah, I think. Where do we go? Like, where do we go from here? Is this just the end of the world as we know it?
That could be a pretty beautiful ending. And just like that, we were dead.
Like, yeah, I mean, I just you've really created like a situation from which there seems to be no escape.
And truly, it is the perfect ending because, like, I mean, then there will be no loose ends. It's like, okay, well, I guess the world just finished. And like, and honestly,
yeah, like, this is it.
Isn't that the most poetic way for the series to end? It's like, there's nowhere for these girls to go because there's literally nowhere for them to go.
Yeah, I think we just start to see the breakdown of society as we know it, and like the end of sex and love and plur. And with Samantha's death, it really was like the end of an era and the end mm-hmm. of the world. And it reminds, I think, the viewers and the fans and, you know, anyone that ever fucked with Sex in the City, how important the character of Samantha Jones really was.
Yeah, yeah.
And how necessary she truly was to the world at large.
Yeah, yeah. Because with her death, sex dies.
Mm-hmm. And life as we know it comes to an end. So, yeah, I think that it
so
kind of gets
dark.
To be like this global, like World War Z type of film.
Yeah.
But the ultimate realization is like, this is just it.
I think that's it.
Wow.
I mean,
I feel bleak. I feel
I didn't see it ending like this.
Me neither, but it tracks.
It does track.
You can't
and
kill
it's
Samantha.
Like, and like, Charlotte gets away with it because people are like, there are bigger things on our plate.
Bigger fish to fry.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We have COVID. We have a lot more things. Like, no one ever questions Charlotte. And like, truly just society goes to hell.
Yeah. I think that's it.
Wow. I think also this movie has to be called Sex in the City 3, The Samdemic.
Yeah, yeah, 100%. Yep, it does.
Because, yeah, wow. I feel hopeless.
I'm kind of at a loss for words.
Me too. I can't say I loved creating this because I feel like it leaves everyone in like a very dark place. But
I've been in my room
what?
For a very long time.
I really haven't had anyone take it this dark. So I do think you get the prize
unique.
For going the darkest of any that anyone's ever gone.
But also
on
like
this podcast.
This is the like, oh, I don't know what time this will come out, but this, to my knowledge, is one of the first recordings back from us experiencing the pandemic. So if anything, like, this just truly gives us all that, like, we've all had moments like this. And I think the entertainment industry cannot avoid that.
Yeah. The harsh truths.
So I guess that
you kill off Samantha, this is what you get.
Yeah. And you know, and yeah, that's exactly right. Like, I think there was maybe a change.org petition that, like, people were like, you need to end this series because you can't have it without Samantha.
Mm-hmm. And I think everyone, after this movie comes out, like, I think everyone turns on Sex and the City because they're like, wow, you gave us so much joy and then literally took all that joy away from us and made us want to kill ourselves.
We also completely forgot about Stanford. But you know what? I think it doesn't really matter because honestly, while he could have been a hero at heart, there's nothing he could have done to stop this.
No, there are no heroes in this story. No. As badly as I wanted there to be, like, it is what it is.
Yeah.
And I think that everyone cancels Sex and the City after mm-hmm. this movie comes out. And people are so angry. And Sex and the City actually becomes, like, banned. Like, it has such a negative effect on on viewers' mental health, having to go through this process. That, like, they're like, no more Sex in the City at all. And yeah. We need to just wipe the slate
blacklisted
clean and culturally pretend that this never happened.
I mean, I think it's for the best.
Wow. Okay.
Not only did we lay Samantha to rest, but we're laying the entire franchise to rest.
Wow. All right.
Espiritu Sancti.
Damn, Andy, wow, you really did a number.
You know, this is, I'm normally a very light and bright person, but I don't know, I feel like it may have been Christopher Plummer's death today, but like, I am not,
this
I am
brought
not,
something out in you.
I am not,
you're
hearing
not well.
The sound of music.
Yeah, you're officially, I'm keeping my eye on you.
Yeah, I'm
going to
do some better help. I'm going to do some better help when I get off.
Thank you so much for coming on this
podcast.
Thank
you for having me.
Also, fuck you. And tell everyone where they can find you.
You can find me at King of My Country on all platforms. And, like, I mean, once pandemic is over, out and about in New York City.
Love that. Well, be sure to send Andy lots of hate mail for this horrific environment that he created.
I live for drama.
DM. And you know, stay tuned, and until next time, bye.
Friend of the Pod Production.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.